All right, thank you very much. Always nice to be put on the air with a friendly voice. I remember the announcer back in the 1930s who put me on the air. I was on live every morning in that particular station, and he was hungover one morning and didn't feel too good. So he put me on the air and forgot to shut off his microphone. He said to himself, "That'll hold him." Well, I'm glad for my friends, and I'm glad for you, my listening friend. How in the world are you? You doing all right today? Well, bless you. Glad to be back with you. The miles drop away, and it's just as though I were sitting there with you in the kitchen, or beside you in the car as you're on your way to work, or sitting with you in the living room late in the evening, just before the day closes up. Well, whatever. We're together around the Word of God, and I love it, don't you? Oh, it's great. Thanks for being there. We're looking into 2 Peter, this chapter that is full of the description of people who are counterfeit Christians operating within the structure of the local church. And Peter has pointed out that they are living what he says after the flesh, the lusts of their flesh. And I gave you a little rundown of what that meant there in 2 Peter chapter 2. You recall that. Now we've turned to the opposite side, because what I want to do is give you a contrast between the counterfeit and the real thing, living what Paul calls after the Spirit, not after the flesh. And we turn to Romans 8 for that. And that's where we were the last time we got together. Where does this matter of living in the Spirit start? Well, it starts with a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. To be in Christ means to have committed yourself to Him by faith. In not promising or paying or joining or doing anything, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The works come as a result of salvation. We are His workmanship, created unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And so commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ by simple faith, repenting of sin, turning to Christ. Paul says to the people at Thessalonica, how ye turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for His Son from heaven. That's the procedure. You turn from something to somebody. Turn to God from idols. Repentance and faith go hand in hand, and they bring you then to the foot of the cross, and you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as the Savior to whom you have committed your life and your eternal destiny. That's step one in starting to live in the Spirit. And then you're living according to a new law of life. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. My old theology prof in seminary, Dr. John B. Champion, used to dwell on this fact and say, well, young ladies and gentlemen, every law has its life. The life of the pollywog is the life of the frog, and the life of the oak tree is the life of the acorn, and the life of the sprout of corn is the seed of corn. Every life has its law, and it develops according to that law. You've been living according to the law of sin and death. More effort means more sin, and more sin brings you more surely to eternal death. Now you're living under a different law, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. A new commitment results in a different life with a different law. And so that's the second step. And then what? And then there's a new focus. Oh, by the way, the result of living according to the Holy Spirit is that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, we who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You end up obeying God because the Holy Spirit of God who dwells within you motivates you to obey God's word. It is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Then you go on to verse 5, and there's a new focus, a new mind set, a new set of priorities. They that are after the flesh do mind, that means pay attention to and follow. They that are after the flesh pay attention to and follow the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. You're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. And so if you're born again through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God dwells within you, according to this passage of God's inspired word. And so He, the Holy Spirit, gives you a new mindset. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Paul said in another place, we have the mind of Christ. And he said over in Hebrews, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So the wrap-up of that whole subject is the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in you starts a new thought process, a new mindset, a new set of values and priorities so that you pay attention to eternal things rather than just the desires of your old sinful human nature. A new focus, a new mindset, new priorities are involved in living in the Spirit. Then, of course, slipping down to verse 11, it's new dynamics. If the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Now, some think this refers to the ultimate resurrection of our bodies, and I'm quite willing to agree that the Bible teaches the resurrection of the body. I believe that there'll be a resurrection body given to every one of us when resurrection time comes. It says the trumpet shall sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible and we shall all be changed and so on. So I believe with you in the resurrection of the body. But I do think that we have a right here to look at the words themselves. It says your mortal body. Now when am I mortal? Before, not after, I die. I'm corruptible after I die. This mortal must put on immortality, and this corruptible must put on incorruption, says Paul. He himself makes the distinction in 1 Corinthians 15. And so I think we have a right not only to believe in the ultimate resurrection of the body, and also the spiritual resurrection of a spirit that's dead in sins. Ephesians 2:1, you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Now that's a spiritual resurrection that occurs when you're born again. We believe also that that is true, don't we? But here in this verse, I think we have a right to say that God will quicken your whole human nature, your mortal bodies, he said, by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Now, does that mean I'll never get sick? No, it doesn't. It didn't in the days of Paul. He left some people at different places because they were sick. And see, not everybody got healed then, and not everybody gets healed now. It doesn't mean you'll never get sick. It doesn't mean that you won't get old. It doesn't mean that you won't get arthritis or whatever. We're living in a sinful world, and we're living in bodies that are touched by the results of Adam and Eve's sin that has come down through the centuries. No doubt about that. But he says he'll quicken. Now, what does that mean? Well, go over to Corinthians. He says, though our outward man perish, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. To quicken you means to make you capable, alive and wonderfully capable of obeying God so that Philippians 4:13 is fulfilled in you. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. He'll make you gloriously alive, alive enough to do what God wants you to do in any given setting, whether it be in youth or young adulthood or middle life or older senior citizen life or old age or whatever it is. Quicken means to make you able to do God's will when he wants you to. You're gloriously alive to do what God asks you to do. That makes sense? Quicken. Yes, I believe in the ultimate resurrection. Yes, I believe in a spiritual resurrection. Your spirit was dead to God and he's given you new life, Ephesians 2:1. Yes, I believe that, but I also believe that God will touch you, body, soul, and spirit, and make you able to do his will, what he wants you to do at any given time. And I find that then in this wonderful passage, his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Now here's an interesting concept. In verse 12 he says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh to live after the flesh, for if you live after the flesh, you'll die. But if ye through the Spirit do put to death the deeds of the body, ye shall live. What's he talking about? He says, your debtors, that is to say, this is a matter of oughtness. This is something that a sensible thinking person ought to do. Why? Because it's the only way it works. It's the only way it works. He said, if you live after the flesh, you'll die. There is no other possibility as a result of a self-indulgent, self-willed, presumptuous, God-neglecting life than just to come to the end of it and you're physically dead as well as spiritually dead. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. Hebrews 9:27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. And so that's everything that you can look forward to. If a person is determined to be unsaved, don't blame him for his excesses, because that's all he's got left. That's all there is. And after he's gone, that's it. All he has left is to face the judgment of God. But he says, if ye, through the Spirit. Now, where is he? It says, the Spirit that dwelleth in you. Verse 11. He dwells in you. All right, the Holy Spirit dwells in you, and if you, through the fact that he's there and you're yielding to him, do put to death the deeds of the body, that is to say, you turn from them and you yield yourself to God instead, then you're really, really going to live. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. The spilling over abundant life of God in you. He said, how do you do that? Yield to the blessed Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not a fanatic on things. I don't have any wildfire in me. But I think many of us who are conservative evangelicals miss out on realizing that the Holy Spirit of God dwells within us. And that if we'll just be quiet before God when we start to pray, for example, don't just start out with a laundry list of things. But just wait on God, and the indwelling Spirit of God is going to nudge you. He's going to remind you of things that you need to say to God by way of adoration, by way of confession, by way of thanksgiving, by way of supplication. See, if ye through the Spirit do this, he says, put to death the deeds of the flesh. How do you do that? You turn yourself away from them. You turn to God from idols, says Paul to the Thessalonians. And so you steadfastly you turn away from them. Paul says, reckon yourself dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. It's a matter of which way you're facing. It's a matter of which way you're facing. You don't really get rid of your alcoholic habit by keeping a fifth of Old Dead Eye around for medicinal purposes. I can guarantee you, you'll need some medicine before supper of that kind. See, you have to turn away from it to God. And so he said, through the Spirit, through the Holy Spirit. How do you do it? You trust him to give you real victory. Well, God bless you, my dear friend, and keep you in his wonderful care. Father God, in Jesus' name, may the indwelling Spirit guide us to obey thee. Amen. Till I meet you once again by way of radio, walk with the King today and be a blessing.
You've just heard Walk with the King, the ministry of Dr. Robert A. Cook. This program is listener-supported. For more information or to find out how you can help continue this ministry, write to us at Walk with the King, P.O. Box 43, Trumbull, Connecticut, 06611, or visit us on the web at walkwiththeking.org. Thank you for your support of this ministry. This has been broadcast number 7245. Thank you for listening to Walk with the King.